Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants of this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. And Cast Tapes live at 5 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays. Check out my Twitter feed, ANNZAG, for more. Enjoy the show! Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Bertie. Jacob's here.
Hey there.
And another weekly show. Hey, we're third in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, it's good.
We did it, team.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jacob. Thanks.
Yay.
I couldn't have done it without you. Literally could not have done this without you. Okay, so live show. We got a live chat. We got questions from Twitter. We're going to talk about what we've been watching. And our guest this week, she is great. Her name is Dawn, also known as Usa Mimi. You can find her bunny cartoon on Twitter, animenostalgia.tumblr or .blogspot.com. She has a podcast, the Anime Nostalgia Podcast. Dawn, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is super fun. I wish I had watched anime this week, but I didn't because I was writing Vice and Luna all week, and I'm still writing Vice and Luna.
That's important.
It is because it turns out my process is agonize for a day, wake up at 5 with, oh, it'll be this. Wake up at 5 in the morning with, oh, it should be this. Get up and write the script at 5 a.m., sometimes Jacob is still up, and I'll get up and be like, hey, I'll be like, hey, are you still awake? And you'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, wait, so what if the panels go, I'll just launch into it. Yeah. What if it's like, this joke goes here? Like, yeah, it's horrible, and I need to get it fucking under control, otherwise this thing's going to kill me. But we're launching.
I think that's normal for some people. Like, my creative process, like, I'm really, like, when I get up, I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
If I have an idea, I'm like, I got to write it down now.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. If anything, because I spend a lot of time thinking about this, so I have to take little notes and stuff. It's a new process for me, so it's fun. But we're going to be launching that actually sooner rather than later because we've made a decision about the launch that makes it easier for us to launch soon. So that'll be great. I'm really excited to show everybody that stuff. But that's kind of why I haven't gotten around to watching anything. Jacob, the weight falls to you.
Oh.
What new anime did you watch this week that was noteworthy?
Noteworthy. So, I guess one of the things that stuck out to me the most was that Bungo Stray Dogs, which I was not particularly, I don't know, I couldn't say many nice things about it apart from the fact that it looks very pretty. Anyway, so Bungo Stray Dogs, I wasn't really particularly impressed with it, but, it had an episode last week that was actually really good. That kind of stood out to me as like, oh, why isn't the whole show like this? The protagonist actually, like, did things, and there was a lot of great action, and they had the one female member of the Stray Dogs who, as it turns out, is the best character doing things, and that's continued, and it's like, oh, they have a plot now. And so they just waited 8 whole episodes to put any story in this thing, and after that it's just like, look at these boys, don't you like these boys, won't you buy merchandise of these boys for 7 episodes. An 8th episode before it's like, oh, I care about things happening, you know. So I Bungo Stray Dogs is interesting because it is the most, like, I would say it's the most transparent, and there's no appeal except for the Fujoshi audience, one of these that has good production values. Like, there's a lot like that are sort of like disposable, but this is the most handsomely produced, like, you would expect good things from this thing that is totally phoned in, that I think I've seen. So, like, Oran and Black Butler and stuff like that, like, other audiences can watch them. It's not really just a Fujoshi thing. Bungo Stray Dogs is just a Fujoshi thing. But, hey, it had a really good episode, so.
Hang on. So, this is weird. This never happens on the show, but I had to cut in here with some breaking news. Apparently, something happened on Super Lovers today that prompted Crunchyroll to set it to a mature-only show. So, Jacob, you watch stuff out of morbid curiosity basically all the time. I assume you already know what this is.
Right.
Can you enlighten me?
Weirdly, usually I get to Super Lovers late, but I actually did watch
it last night. This week you got to it really quick?
Because I was told about the thing, because everybody was losing their mind. So actually, I did see that, and it is...
it just happened to be in the neighborhood, and Super Lovers is right here. Well, I may as well stop in. Yeah. I mean, I would come by here later.
No, I'm being honest. Usually I get to it like a week later, or several days late, or whatever. But no, I saw it right in the moment, because... Holy shit. But, I don't know what else there is to say. Like, the thing that...
What happened?
All the Yaoi fans are waiting for happened.
Which is?
Well, apparently the kid hit puberty, like, at 16. He got his... I'm not kidding you. This is the plot. He got his, like, first boner at 16 and then goes, I don't know what to do with this. Like, no boy in history.
That's really late for a first boner.
I was gonna say, like, what? You know, shouldn't that be at, like, age 8 or something? You know, and it's like, what? But so he's 16 years old, and he gets a hard-on for the first time, and then he's like, oh no, I don't know what to do with this, as no boy has ever said, ever. And
well, there's a couple minutes.
Yeah, but he's genuinely, like, confused all day. All day he's confused. He doesn't really, he's, like, baffled. And it's like, what? No, like, this is not hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out.
What?
So his 24-year-old guardian...
He's like, hang on a second.
Yes.
Me and my giant hands are going to show you what to do with that thing.
He
gives him a handy in the shower.
He gives him a hand job in the shower. That's not very romantic.
No.
Is there saxophone music playing while he's jerking him off?
They kind of skip it. Apparently it's a sequence in the manga, and it's just, he just walks in and goes, hey, I'll take care of this, and then they cut. But, and it's just implied. But that's okay, because later he tries to fuck him on a desk. And it doesn't really...
Tries?
Well, he gets his pants down, and then they get interrupted, as you do, so...
So this is just airing on television.
It's just awful, yeah. And... I mean, it's funny because the argument goes a lot of the time, like, this stuff isn't necessarily self-insert. It very much is. Like, this Uge character is, like, no child or adult that exists ever. It is this weird fantasy that it's like, for, like, 18 to 24-year-old girls... to put themselves into the position of a 16-year-old boy. It's really weird.
Yeah,
it's
weird
to watch. It is baffling. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
So this was a great episode for me to stop by on.
Yeah.
You stopped watching it just now?
What? Oh, no. I said this is a great episode of this podcast.
Oh, I thought you meant, this is a great episode of Super Lovers for me to back out.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, if you were watching Super Lovers and you're like, hang on, a hand job, I can't go there. Then, I mean, what the hell were you watching Super Lovers for? It feels like that's what you're there for.
I'd heard about this on Twitter, and, like, that is, like, where I get my information. Like, I get that secondhand. I'm like, that sounds... like a thing that exists, I guess, if you're into that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if you're into that, is a lot of anime, right?
That's true. Very true.
Well, I, at this point, it's just funny. I just like the updates. Like, what happened? Like, everyone will forget about this half an hour, less than
probably.
That. And so it's just funny in the moment. It's just like, it's just funny. It's like, oh, crazy. Like, what shocking thing happened on Super Lovers? Like, getting bent out of shape about it seems like a huge waste of time.
No, yeah, that's... it's a thing that exists, and it's there.
Yeah, whatever. Super Lovers aside...
Super Lovers way off.
Which you were Johnny on the spot, Jacob on the spot with the Super Lovers report. Thank you for making sure that you were there at the moment it was released.
I had almost...
Watching that Crunchyroll countdown... The next episode of Super Lovers will be available for premium subscribers, and then Jacob's like, 5, 4, 3.
Thank you for taking that grenade so we don't have to.
I watched it at 4 a.m. last night like a sane human being.
That's the Super Lovers hour, as they say.
It's like, well, I guess it's time for Super Lovers.
So
oh, God, 4 a.m. No. That's the peak bad decision time. So yeah, sure.
No,
so,
I mean the only reason I continue to watch it is because in high school I was fully entrenched in that Fujoshi community, even though I didn't feel like I was part of it because I wasn't turned on by that stuff at all. I was just sort of confused by it. But all my friends were really into it, and so I always feel like I'm interested in the psychology of that phenomenon because it continues to go to this very day. And Super Lovers is unusual for a yaoi that gets aired on TV, in that it is so, like, oh, this is really, really uncomfortable. Usually it's pretty uncomfortable. This is really bad, so I can't.
Yeah,
it. I have to look.
Sounds like it. Man.
That motivates a lot of your anime viewing, though.
It does.
I have to look.
It's really bad. It can't be just boring bad. It has to be, like, garbage. Like, I'm like, oh,
like
I gotta see how this turns out.
For sure, right. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hesitant to even say Super Lovers, because if I say it, we talk about it for another 3 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's not your fault. It's a compelling subject. Mm-hmm. No one is to blame here. I'm just saying, what? So was there anything else?
Well, before that breaking news happened, I was going to say, like, I had checked out Bungo Stray Dogs back when that was first starting. Mm-hmm. And I think I watched the first two or three episodes, and then it hit the sister who really was into her brother, and I was like, I don't know if I want to watch the rest of this.
So
now.
That gets better slash worse depending on how you look at it. They are not related at all. She just does that to creep him out. Because and the real metatextual reason for this is because some girls find that hot, I guess. But they're just
I guess
it's weird.
It takes all types, I guess. So I put that like on hold, and I was like, well, I have friends who are watching it, and if it finishes, and they're like, yeah, this is worth watching, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, maybe I'll go back and finish it. Mm-hmm. You know, no loss.
Right.
It did look really nice. I was very impressed with the animation and the visuals and everything, and I could really tell that I think I heard that somebody who worked on Ouran was a part of that, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense because the visual gags are kind of similar,
right?
But I was like, I was lukewarm on it, so
yeah,
I was like,
the undertow, like with Ouran, they are trying to write good jokes. Like, it's genuinely funny. In Bungo Stray Dogs, the jokes are predicated on... It is kind of like, so to switch the genders, like a cute girls doing cute things show where it's a quote-unquote comedy, but the comedy really comes from, she did a dopey thing, like, that's not how you do that, you cutie, like that. Only it's with the boys. So the joke is like, oh, he tried to commit suicide and it didn't work because he's silly. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Well, girls are fucked up, man. Girls are fucked up. So, like... It's perfectly okay if you're really into that Fujoshi stuff, but it doesn't. Unlike some of the Black Butlers, the Ourons, it doesn't have another appeal to keep you watching. It's just if you're really into that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's that manga where it's just like the worst? He constantly wants to rape her. Blackbird, is that it?
I'm not really up on JoJo manga.
Have no idea.
That's the one. There's one where it's just like the most abusive possible relationship,
well,
and it's played entirely for romance.
Well,
and it,
see that, that's what makes shoujo stuff so different from Fujoshi. And why I kind of prefer the Fujoshi stuff. Like with shoujo romance, it's taken completely seriously. It's like a Twilight or a 50 Shades or something like that. It's taken completely seriously, and you're supposed to be enamored with it. With Fujoshi stuff, it's sort of camp, ridiculous, you're supposed to be laughing at how insensitive and terrible it is, which is, to me, much less, it's much more able to be enjoyed, theoretically. Bungo Stray Dogs is kind of a lame version of it, but yeah, like, if you take it to its furthest possible extent, it's more enjoyable.
So you dropped Bungo Stray Dogs?
Me?
Done.
I put it on hold for now.
Right.
Like I said, like if...
You'll
if,
never go back
if someone,
to it.
If someone tells me the rest of it's worth watching, maybe someday I'll come back to it, you know?
I find this a kiss of death. If I gave something 5 episodes, if someone's like, boy, the last two are good, how good?
I only made it to, like, whenever that female character was all up and on her quote, brother, which I think was the second or third episode, I was like, not for me.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, it was the 8th episode before I was like, oh, that was really good. So 7 pure episodes where there was not a moment where I was like, that was really good. There was, yeah. So 8 episodes before I was like, that's good. So I'd say Bungo Stray Dogs is a wash for me. But, you know, it's very pretty. The other thing that makes that show exceptional, especially for the Japanese audiences, and this is one of the reasons Mr. Osamatsu was so huge, is the voice acting. Like, the voice acting Mr. Osamatsu is just they got the funniest voice actors they could possibly.
Oh yeah, for
and,
sure.
And Bungo Stray Dogs is kind of like that. Like, they're just cutting loose, they're ad-libbing, they're not really like worrying too much about fitting archetype. They're just kind of allowed to cut loose. So Bungo Stray Dog's voice acting is really funny, so that's going to make it do more good in Japan. But, yeah, I don't...
Right. So, Jacob, we were still talking about what you had seen recently that was worth mentioning. Super Lovers aside, don't continue talking about Super Lovers.
Not going to talk about Super Lovers.
Move past Super Lovers.
No, don't watch Super Lovers. I mean, watch it if you want.
Move past Super Lovers.
Okay. Everything else is kind of continuing on the same track that it's been continuing on. I don't think there's a whole lot new to discuss. I mean, I could go on a different tear about Kizniver, but I think I should wait until we, like, do a podcast where you watched.
Yeah, I need to watch Kizniver. That's actually next on my list of stuff to watch. So yeah. I'll probably watch that for next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, wait, next week is probably going to be an interview show, so maybe 2 weeks. But anyway.
Something, yeah.
Something
someday.
Like that.
It would be better if it was close to the end for that one, because that one's obviously trying to
yeah.
build to something. So.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it, like, right before Anime Expo. God.
Oh.
I don't like to think about the end of this month. It's like this, you know, that DS E-Ray song starts playing and
yeah.
there's a thunderstorm like over the horizon. It's like AX and we're launching the comic and its preview guide all at once.
I mean, of all the shows this season, that like which, if I had to pick like which one, the discussion around it really has to rely on how it's going to end. I would
it's
say
Kizniver.
Kizniver, yeah.
yeah.
The other ones you can kind of say, you can kind of define it pretty well before then.
I don't know, Lost Village.
I
don't know.
The Lost Village is not going to change.
No one knows where that's going.
No one knows. Yeah,
that
but
show
it's
is so
radically, perhaps.
Frustrating to
not
me.
Even Mario Kata.
No, I don't think she knows where that's going either.
I bet she knows. I bet she knows.
Yeah.
Lost Village is so frustrating to me because I watched it thinking, well, I really like horror, and whenever there's an anime that's like, oh, it's kind of horror-y, I'm like, okay, let's see what this is going to be all about. And it was just so ridiculous that I was like, I gotta keep watching this. This is nuts. But the last few episodes have been kind of like halfway through, I'll just kind of zone out and not even really be paying attention.
Yeah.
The last two episodes got boring.
Yeah, I got bored.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, let's try to be sincere now. And it's like, oh, it showed its hand. It was funny because it was right after the podcast we were trying to suss out what The Lost Village was. And up to that point, it had been completely 100% sort of mean-spirited, weird horror. And then in the most recent two episodes, it went for sincerity. It just completely drove into sincerity. And it was like, mm-hmm. oh, guess not. I guess this really was just a giant incompetent mess. But we'll see what happens at the end, because who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once it became sincere, that was it.
That was it. Yeah.
It, like you said, it showed its hand. So, yeah, that was
when people were asking me about, like, why I was watching it, I kind of compared it to Samurai Flamenco because you never knew what was going to be on the next episode of that.
Yeah, for sure.
It was always like every episode was like something you had not seen coming
for sure.
For miles.
Yeah,
and
we
so
should.
It was kind of like that for me. I was like, this show is ridiculous. Someone's going to die. I bet. And then like no one would die. And you're like, okay, next episode. Someone's going to die now, right? For sure, somebody.
Nope.
And then it just kept going, and no one was dying. And I was like, okay, then this is just really weird. And then, like you said, they started just talking all of a sudden, let's talk about our feelings. And I was like, but go back to that nutso stuff. That was actually kind of entertaining.
Well, they're suddenly all sticking up for one another and trying to rescue the girl and, like, bearing their sincere feelings and trying to relate to one another. And it's like, oh, it's over. Like, the show was good when they were just being disgusting and mean to each other for no reason.
Yeah,
like,
when it was,
you know.
When it was corny and bad, like, bad horror, mm-hmm. then it was entertaining to me. But now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this is just,
I feel like there's going to be like a screenshot of The Lost Village sometime before the end, very end of the show, where one character is exclaiming, the context will be different. One character will be exclaiming like, this is so boring. And then that screenshot will get passed around again and again. It just feels like something like that would happen
with
that show.
Well, there was one that happened when they were about to burn what's her butt.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was something similar.
Said,
yeah.
And somebody said, I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
And that ran around like crazy. So,
I remember that.
Yeah, right. Geez. So you keep up. So how many shows on average do you keep up with, Dawn?
Well, it really depends on what kind of grabs my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I find one or two shows that I, like stick with the whole season, I'm like, wow, that was great. So I guess I'm not one of those people that like watches like 50 like shows a season just because like I don't have time and not everything like appeals to me. I try to be selective.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to sit down and watch a thing, then I want to make sure like it's something that will actually hold my interest. And if I don't like it, then I, you know, I'm like, shelve that for now, I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it totally makes sense. It's such a fire hose of content that if you don't sit there and pick and choose, because like some people are just community watchers and they'll like Jacob. I mean, you watch a lot of stuff to keep up with the conversation.
Yeah, just to see what people are saying kind of say, I mean, like, I've actually gotten more out of ReZero through that because that show has continued to get better. It's still pandering, but I get more out of it because it's continued to get better and there's a lot of fervor around, this is the best anime of the season, and it's like, well, no, but I can see why this would appeal to people, and it, you know, I'm glad I'm watching it, because otherwise I would be like, why is this climbing up the ranking? Like, I saw one episode and it was hot trash, but now it's interesting to look at for what it is doing very right, very different from a lot of its Sword Art Online type contemporaries, and, you know, it's interesting, so.
Yeah, sure, I can understand that. I mean, other than that, like, I automatically, if something has a franchise that's kind of older or something like that, and I'm like, oh, I know what that is, like, I will check it out. Like, obviously, like, I watched Ushio and Tora. I'm really enjoying JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Right.
Sailor Moon Crystal, I've been watching that. You know, stuff like that. So when those come out, that's like an automatic for me. I'll at least check it out. I was really, really happy with Ushio and Tora because I actually, for my podcast, I went back and I watched the really old OVA that came out like forever ago to see, like, because it had been a long time since I'd watched it. And I was like, I remember liking this. Was this good? And I was like, oh, this actually wasn't as good as I remembered it.
Yeah.
Like, I had really glossed over it. But that new show is phenomenal. Yeah, like, I really like it.
Praises, I think the last two podcasts, that's the only reason I didn't bring it up, because it's the last two podcasts have been like, oh man, Ushio and Tora. Like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it.
For good reason. It's really, really good. It blows that old one totally out of the water.
Well, the thing is that there's a Berserk adaptation coming up. So you look at Ushio and Tora, and you're like, well, it's not going to be this good, probably.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Which is kind of sad, because it really does deserve a really good adaptation. I mean, I'm excited we get new music by the old composer.
Hirasawa. Yeah.
He's a great composer, and I really love him. So, like, that was my main, like, ooh, he's going to be on this? That means we get new music from him. That's great. But other than that, like, I'm keeping my expectations reasonable.
I feel like I can write Susumu Hirasawa music in my head. I feel like that's not that. I feel like he's a genius, but I feel like you could, too. Like, you could sit there and kind of write the melody in your head.
I like a lot of his stuff, but I don't think it ever gets any better than Forces. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the best one. Like, you know,
you get a guy who sounds like the Return of from Innocence guy, the Enigma song though. Yo, I like that. Get that guy, and then have some techno synth and some big like pounding war drums.
Yeah.
There you go, and it'll be awesome, and it'll be fucking great. But you know, that's what it'll sound like.
It does. It does really have that sound, and I think the first time I ever heard it. His work, I was like, I don't know if I like this, but the more I saw him, well, heard him in things, like especially his work with Satoshi Kon.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, amazing. Okay, I get this now. This is really good. I'm into it.
Yeah, that Paprika soundtrack is something else. Yeah. So good.
Oh, the Paprika soundtrack is like
it's like the best thing about that movie, I think.
I have some feelings about that one.
so we had a discussion topic because Don, you're a anime nostalgia person. You are into the old stuff, and so are we. I've been a fan since like 90. I actually found I can date myself. Fall of 96 is when I became an anime fan. Yes.
Okay.
I can date myself. Fall of 1996. I joined an anime club in fall of 1996. That day they were showing X-1999, the movie, so that was the that and Kimigori Orange Road were, like, the first things I ever saw, like, fan-subbed on a VHS. Like, I'm able to pin all this down now. So I figured it out. So, like, that's who I am, like, as a fan. So, like,
that's
what... So, like,
an introduction.
That's so like, what's your... Thing. So, like, what's your story?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so when I was very young, I lived in Alaska for a brief period of time, and my mother worked at a video store. And so I was an only child at the time, and I was alone a lot. And so I consumed a lot of movies, and I would just, you know, my mom got free rentals, so she would just be like, go nuts, watch whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched a lot of things that ended up being anime, but I didn't know they were anime.
Yeah, okay.
And that kind of stuck with me because I was like, there is a difference between these and those. Like, there is something there, and I don't really know what it is, but there's a difference between, like, Unico and Galaxy Express and, like, you know, Snow White. You know, there's a difference here. And that didn't really click with me until I was a little older, I think maybe 12 or 13, when I heard people talking about it at a comic convention, because, like, when I got older, I got into, like, comics and stuff like that. I was really into, like, you know, illustration and art and things like that, and so I was drawn to comics, and then I went to a comic convention, and I was like, oh, that's what that thing is. It all makes sense now.
Right, so what year was that?
Oh, gosh, I want to say, like, 92?
Okay, maybe? So 90s.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, early to mid-90s.
Yeah.
Around then. So you came up with pretty much the generation slightly before me.
Yeah, somewhere in there, probably.
Slightly before me. So you would have been trading, like, Macross tapes.
Yeah, I was the one that got into, like, going on BBSs and being like, okay, who has this tape? I will trade you for this tape. You know, go to the post office and get a postal money order and order these tapes.
Right, yeah, I did that stuff too, yeah.
yeah,
right.
I do not miss that.
No, that was horrible. Like, it having a mail-out giant.
So time-consuming. Yeah. And
expensive.
And then, you know, if you got someone who, like, totally didn't fulfill their end of the trade, you were like, oh, blacklist you forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, someone didn't get their tapes, you'd be like, I don't know what happened to your tapes. And then they could just accuse you of fraud everywhere. Like, it was the worst. I hated that stuff.
Compare this to the modern internet where false accusations never...
Oh, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. Ever. Yeah. well, that's cool. So the conversation that we're... So now I understand sort of your perspective, like, sort of when anime became a thing for you. Mm-hmm. I feel... So the question is, what is the best period of retro anime? Like, what's the best period? So, like, 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and I'm including the 2000s, because at this point that shit is all, at the very least, 6 years old.
Yeah.
Hard to think about.
It's hard to think about, yeah.
I was just talking to someone earlier this morning about how she was talking to someone and they referred to Death Note as retro. And I was like, oh,
barf.
Really? Oh.
It's 10 years old. I don't know if 10 years old counts as retro.
I'm basically a fossil, I guess. So a lot of people ask me this question and it's really hard for me to answer because it's too hard not to play favorites, and everyone's favorites are subjective.
Well, so we're acknowledging up front this is a stupid argument to have because it's entirely subjective. It's true. Whatever you answer is true. Whatever you answer is
it's
right.
True to be.
Because it's what's your preference. Like, of course, but for funsies, we're going to say that we're going to come up with a definitive answer here. So, sure. I mean...
I guess the sweet spot, I guess, for me would be between, like, the mid to late 80s and the early mid 90s, because a lot of my favorite things came out in that window of time. So so in the mid to late 80s, we got some of the best parts of, like, Urusei Yatsura and all the Rumiko Takahashi titles that, you know, consequently came out because she was, like, on fire then. We got some really great Studio Ghibli movies. We got really good, like, sci-fi stuff. Like, we got Akira and Oniyamas and Robot Carnival and Gunbuster and Patlabor. Not to mention, like, all the mecha stuff, like Zeta Gundam and Giant Gourd and Laser and all that stuff. And then, like, the end of the 80s was, like, the beginning of Dragon Ball Z and Ranma 1/2. And then onward into the early to mid-90s, we got, like, just, like, that really iconic stuff that, like, a lot of people that are doing creative work now were, like, super inspired by. Like, you know, like, Sailor Moon, Evangelion, Ghost in the Shell, like, stuff like that, basically. And all of these things were really influential to, like, a lot of people. Like, if you go out and you look at the stuff that, like, say, your favorite comic creator or your favorite animator really, really liked, you'll see a lot of people say, oh, I was really into Dragon Ball and Ranma and Sailor Moon and Evangelion and stuff like that. So that had a lot of impact. And you don't see a lot of that stuff. Well, you see a lot of stuff being made today that was, like, directly influenced by, like, all those things. And it all kind of pinpoints back to that sort of window of time. So I wouldn't want to say that nothing new is being made now, because there's plenty of stuff that's, you know, new and different being made now. But a lot of that stuff just really stuck with a lot of people.
Right.
And for good reason, because they're all, a lot of it was, like, really, really good.
Right.
So that kind of little slice of time right there is, like, the stuff that I generally gravitate towards. But I mean, there's stuff in, like, each era I like. There's stuff from the 70s I like. There's stuff from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s even, that I'm like, yeah, all that's really good. But that sort of mid to late 80s and early mid 90s is kind of, like, my jam, right? I guess you could say.
That's a pretty definitive answer.
I had a lot of time to think about it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Shit.
I tried to come prepared. I didn't want to sit here and be like, you know.
I feel like that scene in that movie Old School when Will Ferrell delivers that, like, perfect debate answer and James Carville has to say, like, well, we don't have a response. That was perfect. I feel like I don't have anything to add. The only thing I would say is, like, 80s for aesthetic, mid to late 80s for aesthetic, mid to late 90s for storytelling. It seems like that's where I would fall.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I would fall on that. Like, if I wanted to boil it all down,
yeah,
mid to late 80s for aesthetic, mid to late 90s for storytelling.
I would agree with that.
But I feel like that's also a cheat answer, because I'm not just picking one. I'm just saying, like, well, here are the two. This is where the sweet spots really were, when things were really happening. Like, the industry was really producing some really, you know, timeless classics.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of people who, they think that the stuff that was in the 90s was actually, like, in the 80s, because it kind of looks like it is, especially the early 90s stuff. I mean, I had to correct someone, I think it was on Twitter, who said that Sailor Moon came out in the late 80s, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, no.
That was all 90s.
Right.
Well, so for the perspective of someone who's not 4 billion years old, like,
I agree with you. Like, I try not to be partial when it comes to, like, I don't really like to talk about, like, different eras being superior or inferior to others, because to me, see things, yeah, and I mean, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. It's just sort of a forced argument, but, like,
yeah,
if but to me, I see things, like, that you could have done in 1992 that you can't do now, but you also have things that you can do now that you couldn't do in 1992. So, but me, I would say the thing that the 2000s can be, it can definitely be, I guess, blamed for in like, thing that offered that anime had that you couldn't see in earlier decades was, like, pure volume and variety. Like, you can say what you want about the commoditization of anime, like, punishing the creators in some ways, but in some ways it didn't. In some ways it enabled a lot of a younger generation to create more niche product that probably wouldn't have taken off otherwise. And and some of that stuff gets to be, like, basically late night anime gave people the opportunity to create stuff that kind of wouldn't be able to be aired on a normal time slot, much like, even though the content is very different, much like OVAs in the 80s were, like, made, and he's like, well, you can't really air this, and it might have a really niche audience, but we're going to make it anyway. And now you have that, except it's just, it's late night television. But it's the same thing where it's like, well, as strong as the gems were in the 80s and the 90s, there was still like this need to. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. There's a lot of anime throughout the 90s that have sitcom stuff put in it when it doesn't fit the audience and it doesn't fit the tone, but they will have whatever this one trope that was popular this year, it will be in absolutely every show that came out that year. Even if it's just kind of in the background for one episode. There's one complete throwaway episode where they had this thing in there. And you don't really have to do that anymore. Like, you don't have a 50-episode show where 4 episodes have to feature this mascot character and, like,
right.
and 12 of them need to have this sitcom trope to please this audience. Like, you don't have that anymore. You have entire shows based on pleasing one audience. And then right. you have entire shows based on pleasing another audience. And it's all stratified way more so that you can find what you're actually looking for much easier without having to compromise. So... Mm-hmm. You know, there's that, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, they did start doing, like, late-night anime stuff, like, in, I want to say, the late 90s, but it didn't really take off until, like, much later, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because it took a while for people to, like, get into that idea, I guess.
Well, wasn't it DVD? There was, like, a DVD boom that caused the late-night anime to be more successful, wasn't that it?
I think so. That sounds about right. I mean, it's been a long time since I've read up on it, but, yeah.
That's right.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Back me up here. It's DVDs, right?
Yeah.
Home media, yeah.
Because DVDs were a lot more appealing because they were cheaper than VHSs, and they were decidedly smaller. Mm-hmm. So less space to take up.
Right. Yeah, we're in kind of a streaming bubble right now.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All this stuff's coming at us at, like, lightning speed, and it's kind of crazy. I remember when we would get something translated in America that came out in Japan, like, earlier that year, we'd be like, oh, this is fast. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
They really... Like that. Got it here so fast.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I remember the longest wait I ever had to wait for an anime that I really cared about was Ouran High School Host Club, Funimation's release of that. I remember everybody, it was a big bitching point how long it was taking for them to release Ouran because of how big a deal it was. And because streaming wasn't a thing yet, it was like in between, fan subs were kind of becoming scarcer. And free legal streaming wasn't really a thing yet. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was like, well, I've seen chunks of Ouran, but I just want it to be released. Like, I just want it in my hands. And it was taking forever. So I remember that was the...
Yeah, so I think we've sort of arrived to an answer, right?
That it's kind
well,
of
I mean, well, I have my answer, but Jacob, like, what is your definitive? Like, do you have like a final like?
I don't. I really just don't think
you're just gonna chicken out and
weasel out
of the question.
There's great stuff from basically.
That's not an answer. There's great stuff from every year.
I don't have a preference.
What's your favorite movie? They're all good.
I can't pick a favorite movie either. But like, I love the aesthetic of the late 80s and early 90s. I love the what would you call it? I don't know, the maverick, daring sort of quality that a lot of the late 90s stuff had. And I like a lot of the, the big successes of the 2000s that made me an anime fan. So, you know, I just can't say. I really don't. I think of
it. It's a fair answer. I'm teasing you.
I can tell you whether like 1996 was better than 1997. It was, and I can tell you whether 2003 was better than 2002. It was. Like,
oh, on these, you've got like the law. You're gonna lay down the law.
But eras, not so much. It just depends. Like, I can't compare them to one another because they're so different. But year by year,
maybe we'll do that. We'll have a ranking of years.
Right.
Year
rank the 2000s by year by quality of anime.
I can do that easy.
Oh man, all right. Coming soon to Anime News Network. Something else to disagree with.
Another fight pit. Yay.
Yeah, right. Holy shit. Okay, we should probably take some tour questions here. We got a bunch of them.
Oh boy.
All right, Cyber Mormon asks, I'm looking into some older shows that look great. Any suggestions for 80s stuff with good aesthetic? Space Adventure Cobra, Dirty Pair, the TV series, and the OVAs from the 80s. I love the Arisa Yatsura aesthetic.
I have a Tumblr with my podcast, and I can tell you the stuff that gets reblogged to aesthetic blogs all the time. Because there's aesthetic blogs out there.
Right, yeah, yeah. I follow a lot of them.
I made a list of all the popular ones that, like, always get reblogged to aesthetic blogs. So there's, like you said, Space Adventure Cobra, Dirty Pear, Urusei Yatsura. Creamy Mommy is a huge one.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's
a big design. Orange Road is another huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Cat's Eye, Bubblegum Crisis, and Megazone 2-3.
Okay, well, there's a list of them.
Yeah, sadly, a lot of those are out of print, but, like, some of those, like Space Adventure Cobra, Cat's Eye, Dirty Pear, you can buy those all on, like, Right Stuff.
Yeah, thanks to Discotech and yeah, Right Stuff. Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, Dirty Pear is Nozomi?
Yeah, that's Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Jacob, do you have anything to add?
Not particularly. You think you got it all covered?
Right. Then. You're like, yeah, I want a Birth. Remember that OVA Birth?
Oh, man, gosh.
No, like, for me, it's Space Adventure Cobra. That's the best
one. That's the one. Tasty Sub asks, which decade's popular trend do you think has aged the best?
I was thinking about this a lot today, and, like,
Go on, please. I'm sorry.
Oh, and I was thinking, I kept coming back to sports anime.
Is that a trend? That's just a genre.
Well, there was a really big boom of it in the 80s, and it became, like, this big thing to include sports in a lot of, like, 80s anime. Like,
yeah, but there was sports anime before.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that a trend. I would say, like, 80s would be, like, hyper violence, and, like, 90s would be, like, existentialism and deconstruction-y shit, and, like...
I suppose that's
the 2000s would be fan service, like, maids and moe.
The 90s, I also think, like, strong Western influences.
Sure.
Which, that stuff has aged pretty well, and I think that super violence has aged pretty... It's so shocking now, and stuff like that just doesn't really get made anymore, so...
That's true. Like,
I don't know that it's aged well. Maybe that means it's aged really poorly. Because when you see it, you're like, "Holy shit!"
I think the answer to this, as far as which has what trend that has existed since the 80s into now, like, and has kept anime going a lot, and is kind of has, you know, can it changes a little bit over time, but it's kind of always been there. Fan service, like.
Oh, titties.
Titties, yeah. Well, not necessarily just titties, but I mean, like...
Yeah, everyone knows what we mean.
Just, like outfits that show off specific parts of the body, topless guys, topless girls. Like, anime does that. It just,
does,
you want nudity? Well, these aren't real people, so we can just draw titties. And they do. And that has, you know...
Yep, Vice and Luna coming to Anime News Network. Soon.
We're not going to show bare-breasted Luna.
Subscribers only.
Yeah, sex sells. Yeah, but I mean, like, you say sex sells, and it's like, well, what other animation that not really, you know, Japanese animation is sexualized, while a lot of other stuff is not necessarily. So,
all right, moving on. Usikema asks, what's your favorite toy commercial anime?
Pokemon. I guess Sailor Moon would count.
Sailor Moon. Oh, hey, Marmalade Boy had those bath foam commercials. Is that that's not a toy?
I almost forgot about that. Wow.
Jeez. That's a deep cut. They did have
a lot of toys that they made specifically for the anime for that. Like, I remember they made those, like, they were kind of like walkie-talkie sort of little robot toys that you recorded your voice.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I can't remember what they were called, but I remember that wasn't in the manga, but I don't think it was in the manga, but they made a big deal about it in the anime, and then they sold those toys, like, specifically just to sell those toys.
Oh, shit, I can say Botsmaster.
Was that an anime?
Yeah, of course, yeah, there was anime.
Well, you didn't watch it, you can't say that. They're asking you a sincere question, Mr. Irony.
I don't really have a sincere answer for that.
Well, I guess Transformers would also count then, wouldn't it?
I like Botsmaster way more than Transformers. Way more character.
I mean, you don't have to ask.
Well, of course I do.
Digimon, Digital Monster.
Oh, right. See, it's kind of I thought it would be like a toss-up.
Well, Pokemon is more about the games and the franchise as a whole. Like,
you watch Pokemon when you're, like, not feeling well, so...
Yeah, like, Pokemon is like... Is like, oh, this is cute nostalgia. Digimon is like, it still holds up. I'm like 26. I'm like, this still holds up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Digimon, absolutely.
Okay. Final Fear K asks, how fucking cool is Cat's Eye? That show is too rad for me. I like that show. It's good.
It is a very rad show. It's great. It's super great. I'm really glad that's on DVD now. I never thought it would, so that really made me happy when they announced that. I was like, oh yeah, Cat's Eye.
That it would come back out. Remember, it was released once before in a totally unattainable form.
Yeah, that's why I don't really count it, because, yeah. Like, who had it? Nobody. Yeah,
I had it.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Like, I know, like, now I know one person who had it. You did.
Yeah, well, do you know that the guy who's responsible for its existence is the co-host of this show and one of my closest friends, right?
He made those.
So yeah, I have it, but of course I'm the guy who has it.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, let's see here. Zinky asks, do you think the 80s OVA boom would have lost its creative momentum were it not curtailed by the economy? I mean, they wouldn't have just kept dumping money into it forever. It wouldn't have stayed popular forever.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with, like, you know, eventual streaming and stuff. Like, it would have ended eventually. Maybe not as early or maybe not as late. Who knows? I don't know. I would have to see, like, actual, like, sales numbers, I guess, for a definitive answer.
All right, Jacob, this is a question for you.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just posing it to you first.
Oh.
What about shoujo shows? What's peak shoujo for you? Like, what do you think of when someone says shoujo anime? What is the first thing that comes into your head?
Well, the first thing...
No, it's not a question. I just said no, it's not a question for you. I'm just posing it to you first.
I'm not a shoujo expert. Like, most shoujo, like, most well-known shoujo is manga. Like, that's a weird thing where it's... It is
no, 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 but when someone... You had a simple question, like, I say shoujo, what comes in your head?
Well, Sailor Moon. I don't even like Sailor Moon, but that's...
That is your brain's first reaction.
Yeah. Like, okay. That's the quintessential, that's the most successful shoujo. My personal favorite is Fruits Basket, but I don't really care for the anime anymore. Like,
oh, right.
And my love of that has waned. But Fruits Basket is not just my favorite shoujo. Like, that's my favorite manga ever. So that's, you know, but, you know.
Right. For me, it's Marmalade Boy. That's the first thing that comes, like, peak shoujo. If it's whatever comes into your head when the word first is uttered, it is totally Marmalade Boy. Probably because that's the first one I really watched and I really got into it and I watched the whole thing.
Well, when they say peak, I don't think they mean the immediate response. I think they mean the best.
Well, that's the question I'm asking.
The best.
That's the question I'm asking.
First association, Sailor Moon. The best? Fruits Basket, the manga. But that's
right. I need to read that.
If
only I knew someone who owned it.
They're re-releasing it in those nice new volumes.
Huh?
They're re-releasing Fruits Basket in those nice new volumes. I think it's Yen Press who's doing it.
Yeah, we Jacob still has the entire Tokyo Pop run.
I never got to own like the whole set, so I'm really excited to get those newer ones.
I'm eager for a new translation, because the Tokyo Pop translation's not that bad, but it could be better, so it definitely could be better. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so the reason, instead of just saying, oh, I like it, Fruits Basket is my favorite because most shoujo are about a romance with a girl and a boy or whatever, or a couple different romances. Fruits Basket is just about love, and it's like in the Love Actually way, where it's like, Fruits Basket is about every kind of love, like unhealthy love, paternal love, familial love, like sort of abusive love, like romantic stars-crossed love, like all that stuff. It's just, you know, super sexual, super not sexual, all that stuff. And it's about that between a bunch of characters. So that's why it speaks to me, I think. It's because it's just about those connections and how they can change over time or stay the same between a lot of different people. So, yeah.
So, do you have a peak shoujo?
Well, when I think shoujo, I guess I think of, like, the first thing that always pops into my head is, like, what is the most over-the-top, crazy shoujo ever? And I always, you know, when I think of that, I think of, like, Aim for the Ace or The Rose of Versailles or Glass Mask, especially Glass Mask. If you've ever read the manga for that, like... It is so over the top shoujo. It's kind of ridiculous. But I wouldn't say those are my favorites. They're entertaining, and especially Rose of Versailles is really, really good. But if we're just talking like our favorite shoujo, like I always come back to Sailor Moon as well, because that's like a, you know, just sort of a personal favorite, I guess. I know there's shoujo out there that's better, but it's just my favorite.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't feel like I've watched enough Like, the thing, I watched a lot of Boys Over Flowers, which was okay. I mean, that show's kind of gross.
It has not aged well.
It's not aged well. Marmalade Boy, like I said.
There's stuff about it. Like, that opening is amazing. I love the opening theme to Boys Over Flowers, but the story itself is kind of a mess.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. Let's see. I watched a bunch of Nana. That was good. I really like Princess Jellyfish.
Princess Jellyfish is super good.
I just wanted to say, I do put Revolutionary Girl Utena in its own box. Like, weirdly enough, it's like shoujo, and I don't think, like...
Oh, yeah, I don't think of that either.
All the works of Ikuhara, like, all three of them deserve their own category that's called Ikuhara shit. Like, I don't...
I totally agree.
It's like, I can't say shoujo. Like, this is just a different thing. Like, this is just about the human experience that it happens to feature flowers and maidens. But
I agree. Yeah.
It's like you need an entire category for David Lynch's movies or something.
Right. Yeah.
This is not a genre. Like, this is his genre. I don't really. You know.
Okay. All right. So we should go. We got to wrap up here in the next couple minutes, but we have time for a few questions from the chat. The chat. Do you have any questions for our little panel here? Okay. Elaine asks, any bets on when Dragon Ball Super will make it to the West?
Nope.
I wish I knew.
Soon, I'm sure.
I keep holding out not watching fan subs because I keep thinking, like, any day now.
It'll happen. There's no reason. Yeah. It's not like Dragon Ball will still be there if you wait for it to be legal.
Yeah.
That guy asks, so I left anime in 2008 and I came back in early 2014. Did I miss a lot? Yeah, there's some okay stuff in there. Yeah.
I'd say
there's at least a few titles in almost any random year you could go, like, oh, yeah, that was good. You should watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say actually specifically that if you left in 2008, then you endured a couple real bad years. If you just waited for maybe one more icky year, you would have gotten, everything would have gotten a lot better, a lot quicker. So, like, between 2010 and 20, and now, it's been a lot better than it was in 2006 to 2009. So.
Mm.
In my opinion, that was the Moe boom, so I don't, you know, that was bad years for me.
Yeah, I think there was a small chunk of time in the, like, mid-2000s-ish that, like, I just stopped paying attention to anime for a while, and I think it was around that time, so.
Right. Okay. Lone Life asks, is American television golden age over? Boy, it feels like it.
It does.
I do not watch that much television anymore, to be perfectly honest.
Me, like, either.
People talk about TV shows that they're watching, and I'm like, what is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel really out of the loop.
I mean, I feel like everybody watched a lot of TV, like, 5 years ago, and now not so much.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, I saw this new Netflix show. It was pretty good.
Netflix,
you know?
Is kind of attracting most of the TV audience, I think.
Yeah, it feels like it.
They got money to spend, so it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, even when the shows aren't a big deal, it feels like people are more eager to check out a thing on Netflix than they are a thing on cable.
Yeah, because they can just check it out when it's convenient for them instead of having to wait.
Yeah, they drop a season at a time, so, you know.
Yeah, that's how binge-watching became a thing for non-anime people.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, totally. NASFan asks, any thoughts on the Baccano light novels getting published in English? So we published a review this morning by Gabrielle Aikens, which is on the site now. And then, Jacob, our copy's coming at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
I've been waiting for this day since I saw the show, and it ended the way it did. And it was like, oh, this goes on for, like, 20 more books. And I'm like, what? I want to read them. And I remember actually being on an AnCast several years ago and talking about how, like, man, I wish somebody would bring those books over. So it happened. I just had to be really patient and wait, like, a decade. But
okay. Well, then I feel weird that we don't have it in the house yet.
Oh, I mean, I've got other things to do with it.
I totally want to check those out, too. I'm really excited. I'm glad they licensed them.
Yeah, cool. All right, okay, that actually wraps us up. Huge thanks to the chat for stopping by. And Dawn, it was a pleasure and an honor. Thanks for coming by the show. We would love to have you back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to come back. Hopefully not to talk about more Super Lovers.
Nope, sorry, every time.
Super Lovers never ends.
This is changing to the Super Lovers never podcast, ends. And you're our guest every week.
You should just title this the Super Lovers podcast.
No, I'm going to call this podcast The job at hand. That's what this one's going to be called.
No.
All right, thanks, guys. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Dawn for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Endcast tapes live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Check out my Twitter, ANNZach, for more. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes.